I'm Elena Hutchins Lyle.
And I'm Harvinder Vadva.
We're the hosts of Inappropriate Questions, and we're back with season 3.
With some fantastic guests, we break down questions like,
is asking where are you from appropriate small talk?
Is it okay to ask a coworker how much do you make?
Should you ask a polyamorous person, do you get jealous?
Inappropriate Questions season 3. Available now on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I'm Dr. Brian Goldman. This is White Coat Black Art. True story. We ask a patient to vacate a hospital bed by 10 a.m. and the patient says, can I keep it till 1 p.m.? And one of us replies, like clockwork, this is a hospital, not a hotel. Hospital beds are that scarce. So scarce that there's this hotel in Hamilton, Ontario that's been converted into, you guessed it, a makeshift hospital. Recently, producer Jeff Goods and I went to check it out.
Brian, pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for getting through all the traffic.
And not to tell tales out of school, but you were working last night at a hospital that was overwhelmed, which probably ties into what we're talking about today.
Yes, that is true.
That's a fact.
I was called in 2 hours early and I ended up staying in, so I arrived at 7 p.m. and I stayed there till 5:30 a.m. Went home and got some sleep. So anyway, we're all in this together, aren't we? Aren't we all in this together? At least there aren't any protests against healthcare workers.
We're all scrambling in healthcare to do our best, and this place is no exception. We're at the front entrance to what used to be the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown Hamilton, home to conventions, weddings, bar mitzvahs, prom nights, and countless travelers. But now, this place is rolling out the welcome mat to patients.
Hi, I'm Dr. Schott. I'm the medical director for the Hamilton Health Sciences Satellite Health Facility.
So, thank you for welcoming us. What the heck is a satellite health facility?
Well, it's an ALC site.
So ALC,
alternate level of care.
Fast and furious.
You got to be efficient, right, with your words.
Patients are designated alternate level of care, or ALC, when they occupy a hospital bed but don't need the type of care provided by that hospital. Those in-between patients who aren't sick enough to need an acute care hospital, yet are too unwell to go home. According to one study, ALCs occupy roughly 17% of all acute care hospital beds. Dr. Craig Schott, a family doctor who directs the satellite health facility inside a converted hotel, explains.
So, yeah, it's an ALC site that was created back about 3.5 years ago. And the purpose of it initially was to deburden the hospitals with the COVID epidemic coming up. But now it's used by Hamilton Health Sciences as a decanting facility due to our overwhelmed hospital system. So, and it's...
overflow.
Yes, exactly that, yes.
My late sister was in ALC, alternate level of care, for about 6 months until she finally got a bed in a long-term care facility. So, and I'm sure that many loved ones and many patients have learned what that term means. Why do we have ALC, first of all?
Well, I think it's got to do with a couple of things. It's our programs where patients go to. So we have rehab programs. We have different type of programs where there's wait lists, so they can come here to wait for those. There's patients that we have here that aren't quite ready for the next program for different reasons. Some of them we get non-weight-bearing patients and stuff like that for different orthopedic injuries. So those ones are ALC. And we also get patients that are waiting, like services at home or long-term care destinations, where they don't have the care in place at home yet. They don't have long-term care a bed available yet, or a transitional care bed available. So those are the ones that we seem to take at our facility here.
Well, the system's trying to take care of people at home, and I guess a hotel is on some level a home. It's a temporary home for lots of people. That's how they would identify it, so why not? Why don't we have a look inside?
Okay, let's go. Can you do that?
Okay, so whoa, before you're walking past a really interesting thing, what is this? What did this used to be?
Reception for the hotel. So this is where everyone comes in. We have security station back here. This is where everyone checks in.
That this place still looks like a hotel lobby is no surprise. Hamilton Health Sciences needed to move as many as 200 ALC patients here as safely and as quickly as possible. But along the way, they discovered some advantages of keeping the look of a hotel.
This room looks warm. Like it's, like, I mean, emotionally warm. It doesn't speak, it doesn't say hospital.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, so I think it's the wood and everything, like you say, the warmth. It is sterile. It doesn't have that sort of sterile look to it. It's got a warmth to it, which, yeah, I think a lot of the patients like it for that reason.
And, you know, I'm sure there's advantages and disadvantages to having a hotel. What are some of the advantages?
Well, they all have big TVs in the room. So all the patients love the large TV in the room. So it's not the standard hospital small TV. That's a selling point for sure. In terms of disadvantages, I think there was some stuff with the washrooms we had to sort of retrofit a little bit, but that's worked out quite well, and the elevators are a bit smaller. You'll see that when we get in. But they're managed to get the stretchers in. They just sort of incline the head a little bit when they bring the patients
in. So you have to do a little bit of jerry-rigging to be able to do it.
A little bit.
Carry on.
Okay. Is the pool, spa, and fitness center still here?
We wish.
There's a pool, but no water.
11. Do you want to go? Just we can go to the nursing station. I guess we can start there. You want to
sure.
start there?
Sure.
Yeah. So this is it, and you can see the remnants of the hotel.
I see. Now, for those, you know, for people who are listening to the show, they don't know what you just pointed to as a remnant of a hotel.
It's a jacuzzi tub in the middle of our nursing station, or on the side, actually. So this used to be one of the, I guess, larger suites, I guess, in the Crown Plaza. So.
This converted hotel is run as a partnership between two hospitals in the city, Hamilton Health Sciences, which we mentioned before, and St. Joseph's Healthcare Hamilton. We're about to meet a key person from St. Joseph's.
Amanda Weatherston, Senior Manager for St. Joe's for Post-Acute Care and Community Partnerships, but been here since the beginning with Kelly.
Amanda Weatherston, a nurse turned project manager, was tasked with finding and making a suitable place for patients.
All right. Amanda, what was it like the first time you walked into this facility as it was in the before time?
As it was for a hotel, I think this is probably the fifth hotel that I looked at to turn into a hospital.
You looked at other hotels?
Yeah, we had many tours across Hamilton looking at many hotels, looking at where they are in terms of environment, where they are in the city, how close would it be for families, for patients, for transportation, how would we get staff there, and then the actual environment of hallways and rooms and occupancy, because I think the whole point of opening the hotel was for occupancy. We needed to maximize. We didn't know what was coming, how would our hospitals cope, so we needed to make sure the rooms fit for whom the patient population was. So looking at a hotel and turning it into a hospital takes a little bit of creative thinking, but every opportunity was an opportunity.
So give us kind of a laundry list of the things you had to do to turn it into a facility that could house patients.
Biggest one was the rooms. Biggest one was retrofitting all of the bathrooms, taking out showers, taking out tubs, moving toilets, moving sinks, working with both health departments for HHS and St. Joe's, looking at elevators, looking at storage, really looking at the kitchen, looking at cleaning, looking at how do we get things in. We're on a main street. How can we park? How do we not stop traffic every day? So it was things that, as a nurse, I would not normally think of. So we had a lot of redevelopment folks. Colors, flooring, lights, and some of these things came after the fact. But it was a whole, like a house, but on a bigger scale. And really, at the end of the day, looking for how is it going to work for our staff? Is it going to be safe? Is it going to be appropriate? And how is it going to work for our patients and families? Because what we didn't want is people not to be able to visit and kind of what you said, feel warm and really feel like this is a hospital, but also somewhere that they can trust and have their loved ones here and be cared for.
A long way from nursing.
A little bit, but not really. It was kind of fun. Not going to lie, it was a nice break.
A nice break that turned into this. Each floor has a nurse's station, a room for physio, and a common area for patients. Kelly O'Halloran, Director of Community and Population Health Services at Hamilton Health Sciences, picks up the tour. She shows us a patient room complete with a call bell, air purifier, and a walk-in shower in the place where a tub used to be.
Either single or double occupancy.
Spotless. Yes.
So you've, where possible, you've kept as much of the old furniture as you could for economy, and
Yes, yeah. we opened as a temporary facility. We remain a temporary facility, currently approved to operate until March 31st, 2024. The hotel was kind enough to loan us, like they've been a great partner, their furnishings, and then we brought in anything else that we needed. Originally, the flooring was carpet, which would not meet our infection control practices in the hospitals, but we've changed that. So a lot has been done to make sure we're as much as possible meeting the infection control protocols and all that we do in a hospital setting to keep our patients well and our staff.
The fact that two hospitals had to convert a hotel into a patient facility instead of building one from scratch speaks to a sense of urgency. I wanted to ask about that. Amanda Weatherston.
It was really exciting. Like, what staff member and honestly, what brand new nurse is ever going to say, hey, where did you work first? I worked in a hotel. Like, I think there was a bit of a buzz of like the unknown in terms of unknown of like what is coming because of the pandemic, but the unknown of like, hey, we're a team. This is new. This is exciting. Let's make it what we really want to make it and provide a great environment for our patients, our families, and our staff. And it's true. Like, there was such a buzz that first month. And I mean, there is still a buzz because it's exciting to work somewhere different, but there was definitely a buzz in like something new, exciting, and inventive because that's, we were asked to think outside the box for the pandemic. And I think this was a huge example of that.
Do you have happy hour?
I've always wished for a bar downstairs. No. But no.
We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.
You're listening to White Coat Black Art. This week, a tour of a hotel that's been turned into an overflow hospital facility. It's an innovative bit of MacGyvering by two Hamilton, Ontario hospitals to solve their chronic overcrowding. To be clear, this satellite facility is not for sick patients. There's no ER, no operating rooms or ICUs. It's for patients who are waiting for placement in a long-term care home or for those who need rehab before they're ready to go home. Patients like the one we're about to meet.
This is very intimidating, isn't it?
It is. My hands are sweating.
Somehow I think you can handle it. Okay. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for allowing us to come in to see you and hear a little bit about your story. So we've got your name. Can you say hi, my name is your first and last name?
Sure. Okay? Hi, my name is Cindy Mark.
Cindy Mark, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm 62 years old. I live alone. I have a problem with breaking bones. And I'm retired for the last 3 years. So, yeah.
What'd you do before you
I worked at Tofasco.
Storied Hamilton.
Yes, steel company.
Steel company, yes.
For sure, yeah.
Absolutely. What happened? What's your story of how you ended up here? I guess you were in hospital first.
I was for a week. First stint I had in January, I broke my back, some vertebrae in my back. So I was in there for a month. And then I was home for a couple of months and tripped and fell headfirst into a wall and broke my arm. So that's why I'm here, because I live alone. So I needed to be here until they could get me back on my feet and able to look after myself.
So you're a regular client of the orthopedic service.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And so what bone did you break?
The humerus, the part up here, yeah.
And what did the orthopedic surgeons have to do?
This is my third cast that I've had on. It's not healing. It's called a spiral fracture. And the first one didn't work, second one didn't work. This one I think is working. So I'm hoping tomorrow I have an appointment for an x-ray, and I'm hoping it's healing so I can go home. That I don't like it here, but I'd really like to go home. So
I hope it does heal.
Yep.
Did you ever stay here when it was a hotel?
No, I didn't. A friend of mine had her wedding reception here, though, but no, I didn't.
So you visited here before. Yeah. Does this feel like a hotel to you?
No, it doesn't. It feels like a hospital type thing without the IV poles and, you know, all that business, the machines and everything. They just, they look after you.
How about the other facilities that you use? You use physio, don't you?
Yep, physio is here, and they come in a couple times a week, and we've just been basically trying to stand up because I can't push up with both hands, so it's been trying to balance on that little, it's a single-sided walker, mm-hmm. and walk with that, so I've been doing that a few times. It's okay, it's a little hard to balance.
And when are you supposed to be getting out of here?
I don't know.
What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for the word. Just give me the word. I see the surgeon tomorrow, like I said, for an x-ray, and I'm hoping he's going to say that the bone is healed or healing and you can go home now, or he's going to do surgery and then I can go home. So as soon as possible, I'd like to leave.
Well, I want to thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you.
I hope you make a speedy recovery and a complete recovery, and that bone is as good as new.
Thank you very much. This was fun.
Nice to talk to you.
It was nice. Nice meeting you.
Before Cindy Mark can go home, she needs the fracture of her right humerus to heal so she can use her arm to cook, bathe, and use a standard walker.
Bye now. Have a good day.
You too.
For now, this hotel meets her needs perfectly. Still, it seems like a temporary fix to a problem that could use a more permanent solution. I wanted to ask Kelly O'Halloran from Hamilton Health Sciences about that.
You said that this place is going to operate until next year, until 2024. What does the system require so that this place could close down for good?
Working with our system partners out in the community to open up spaces for them. Home care, there's, you know, lots of work going on in the home care setting so that people can go home. People that want to go home should go home. That is a good, best place for seniors if they have the supports they need. So lots of supports needed in home care. We're all struggling with staffing shortages, including the community. So home care, retirement homes, long-term care, opening up those types of beds or supports in the patients or people's homes will then allow us to discharge people.
So what you're saying is that in one way, you're a solution. And in another way, you're a symptom of a bigger problem, of the lack of the capacity that's necessary to take care of people.
Yes.
Amanda, what are the biggest lessons that you've learned from setting this place up and helping to run it and get it off the ground?
I think healthcare workers really do, when push comes to shove, we come together, we do what we have to do, we put in the hours because we all got into healthcare for a reason, and it's to care for patients. And I think this shows what we can do together. This shows across the board healthcare workers will bend over backwards, think creatively. I mean, I go back to the working with like redevelopment, HHS, St. Joe's in a hotel being like, how are we going to make this work? And we made it work in 3 months and we're still here and we're still identifying things that how do we make this place better? How do we make it function better in terms of education, in terms of looking at little things and continuing to grow? So I think we all got in this to make sure everyone's getting the care they need, but now we're so proud of the care we do give. I don't think anyone truly would want to see this go away because we're proud of what we've done. Who can say they've turned a hotel into a thriving hospital? And I think, I don't even know what the numbers are of how many people we've discharged across both sites, but it is a lot of patients that have been through these doors that have gotten great care, great support, as well as somewhere to be not and get the care that they need. I think that's the biggest lesson is a hospital is a hospital, but where is the care that you require? What's the care that you need? And how do we support you for that? And sometimes it's in acute care. Sometimes it's in ED. Sometimes it's in ICU. Sometimes it's at the hotel. And sometimes it's in the community. And I think what Craig said, like, our physicians at St. Joe's like, oh, they're going to the hotel. What does that mean? What can you do? And we've proven time and time again, we have great teams that provide great care on many levels. And this is what we can do. And guess what? They're going home because of the care that we've been able to provide in partnership with everybody.
That's a great place to end our conversation. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Anytime. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This satellite health facility inside a converted hotel has funding until the end of March 2024. The people who look after patients here believe it will continue operating well beyond that date. And joining me now in the studio is Jeff Goetz, who visited the hotel cum hospital along with me and who produced this story. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Brian.
So I know a lot of people are going to be wondering, you know, health human resources is in crisis right now, and a lot of hospitals are short-staffed when it comes to nurses. So what do we know about the staff complement at this satellite health facility?
Well, when we were walking around, it seemed well-staffed to us. We saw all sorts of people, physios. We saw people moving equipment around. It was a busy place. There are about 160 staff that work at the hotel. You've got 15 doctors and then 110 registered nurses and registered practical nurses. Plus, they staffed up with social workers, with recreational therapists. They have dietitians, speech-language pathologists.
And the interesting thing that Hamilton Health Sciences also told us is that a lot of the people who have joined the satellite health facilities are new hires.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting that they're hiring new people at a time when we know that there are issues in retaining staff in other facilities. We will continue to watch that satellite health facility because of what it symbolizes and its importance in moving people through the system. But there's another very important reason why I brought you into the studio with me on this occasion.
Yes.
This story that you brought to us is your victory lap for White Coat Black Art and for all of us here at the CBC. So what the heck is that all about?
You mean I'm retiring from the CBC after 30 years?
So, I mean, you know, as our listeners are coming to grips with this, I'm coming to grips with this as well because you and I have worked together for like 12 years.
We've worked together a long time. I can't even count because it's been so long.
The story that you brought of the satellite health facility, the there's a quirky element to a hotel being converted into kind of a satellite health hospital facility, and it is very typical of the kinds of stories that you've brought to us over the years.
I guess it's an archetypal story that I like because, first of all, there is that hook, right? It's a hotel turned into a hospital, and you're like, what does that mean, right? And that gets you in. But then there are two more things that make it a great story. And one is the fact that it is a representative of an underlying condition, the crisis in the hospitals, and how are we going to solve this?
You like stories that are bread and butter stories that have a quirky hook. And I'm reminded of you and I traveling to a farm in southwestern Ontario to meet migrant workers who were getting COVID.
That's right.
And didn't necessarily have health benefits, but were utterly dependent on the owners of the farm to provide benefits for them. And they were living in crowded conditions. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that very well. I remember watching the sunset over the dormitories at this apple farm south of Brantford, Ontario, and how that was a time when we started thinking about how COVID was affecting certain populations disproportionately, and they were the vulnerable populations. And as we like to say, COVID didn't change the way the world was, but it really shone a light on the most vulnerable.
Yeah. And there's something to that as well. That was a long-term interest of yours over the years. You specialized in shows about real people, not non-healthcare professionals affected by the healthcare system who don't wait for physicians to tell them what to do or to give them advice. I have my favorite stories along that line. What are yours?
There's so many. I love the story you did on the Downtown East Side.
We did.
That's right. We did. But you were.
I was the one I was the one who had the privilege of being there. You're talking about the single room occupancy where we met people who were living in single room occupancy hotels. Here we are,
yeah,
boy,
we
hotels again. There we go.
That's
hotels.
True.
And the thing that was so amazing about it was what?
Was that you, first of all, we set it up really well. One of the things I love to do is find people who are passionate about what they do, who are good talkers, and not necessarily the spokespeople, because the spokespeople often have these, you know, messages they want to get out. You want to talk to people who are on the ground really doing interesting things that are moving the needle.
We found a man in recovery, and
yes,
he was our tour guide, and he took us from one place to another. And I was astonished that he knew the names of everybody in each single room occupancy hotel. Because
you snuck into the hotels, you knocked on doors,
yeah,
and you handed out Narcan and
safe injection kits.
And I mean, come on.
And you have to know
who was where, because if he knocked on the door and they didn't answer, there was and he knew by the time of day that they had to be in the room, then he would bust down the door and give them Narcan to save their lives.
Yeah.
And so that story told me that there was this community that was looking after people in the downtown east side, which is something I would not have been able to figure out if I didn't go there, and I would not have been able to do that story without you.
And I'm going to tell you that that is a great story because it sums up my philosophy of journalism and storytelling. And that in order to tell a story properly, to connect with people, you have to have that human element. And you have to have someone who becomes that conduit for emotional and human connection. You've talked about it for years. Every white coat story has a head and a heartbeat. The heartbeat is the core of the story because without it, you'll never engage the listener enough to be able to deliver the facts.
So you're going to be doing lots of things, but you've got something coming up shortly that I think is kind of interesting for our listeners. What can you tell us about that?
I have a couple super exciting things happening. One is I am the journalist in residence with the Faculty of Science at McMaster University in Hamilton. And we are going to work on what we've just been talking about, storytelling and making that human connection. And I'm also working with the Canadian Housing Evidence Collaborative on a podcast, How to Fix Housing Policy in Canada, which has always been a passion of mine, housing. So that's fascinating as well.
And there's a very important connection between housing, safe housing, and well-being and healthcare.
Social determinants of health.
Yeah. Matt, you learned something being with us. Jeff, all I can say is that, you know, our listeners, you know, they hear the credits at the end of the show. They will miss hearing your storytelling. So they will miss you. Our team will miss you terribly. The CBC will miss you. And finally, I will miss you. And we will be cheering you from the sidelines as you go on to your next great adventure. Jeff Goods, I just want to say working with you has been one of the great joys, not just a pleasure, but it's been a great collaboration, but it's been one of the great joys of working here at the CBC.
Thank you. That's very, very generous. I really appreciate that. You're going to make me cry.
I'll bring a box of Kleenex. That is our show this week. If you'd like to comment, our email address is whitecoat@cbc.ca. White Coat Black Art was produced this week by Jeff Goods. Shatova, look it up. With help from Amina Zoffer and Stephanie Dubois. Our digital producer is Ruby Buiza, and our senior producer is Colleen Ross. That's Medicine from my side of the gurney. I'm Brian Goldman. See you next week.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.